The only time I ever hear Tom Merritt is when I got soap in my hand. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that, oh God, that just sounds even more creepy.
You started
thanks
it.
For, thanks for grossing up a good compliment.
The Mag Show. Yes, as Doc slurps away on his coffee, we're here to start discussing the week in Macintosh. And I'm not going to start again because that's the kind of professionals that we are. Coffee slurps inclusive. Joining me to discuss the week in Mac, I have Mac royalty, apparently.
Are you not going to mention the bathroom story or not?
No, I'm not going to mention the bathroom story.
That's where the throne is, though.
Very good. Joining us to discuss the week in Mac, starting us off, Dr. Mac himself, Bob Levitis.
Hi, all.
How's it doing,
What's
mate?
Up? What's up?
How's life? That you're having lunch, isn't it? Or breakfast? Well,
breakfast, lunchtime. Yeah, it's 9:30 in the morning.
Sorry to get you up so early, pal.
Oh, that's all right. I get up early.
How the devil have you been? Because last time we saw you, you had very bad audio on my end, and it was the Christmas quiz, which is not exactly the best introduction to the Mac Show. But
oh, yeah, and Kelly kicked my butt.
Oh, Kelly kicks everyone's butt every year. She kicks everyone's butt on the big show as well, the general stuff.
She's unbelievable. Proper she's geek. An encyclopedia, walking encyclopedia.
Proper geek. No, I'll send her the questions beforehand. next to him, long time no see, Tom Merritt.
Hey, how's it going, Ewan?
It's good, man. Crystal vision for you. You're absolutely swinging. It's beautiful.
Oh, good, good. I know. Brand new gear since last time I was on. A new Mac Mini particularly is pretty much what's doing it, I think.
Yeah, no, it does help, definitely. Thank you for having me on Cool Kills on Monday night, mate. I had a whale of a time.
Oh man, it's great having you on. It's always fun because A, you're just always a fun guy to do a show with, and B, all the stuff we get wrong about British television, you can set us right on, which
well,
is fun.
No, actually, I got it wrong because
The licensed stuff, yeah.
Yeah, no, I got a tweet from put the record straight. Where's her name? Young lady, MJ, I think it's a woman because it looks like a lady's face. Inquisitive Me on Twitter sent me the extract from the BBC's definition of live TV and whether you need to pay your license or not. And if you don't watch BBC live TV, you don't need to pay your license, allegedly. She doesn't do it, she says, so she doesn't pay it at all. So that's interesting because it could mean that, because I never watch BBC live TV because it's shite. So.
Uh-huh. But you don't like Call the Midwife?
No. I Wolf Hall, you see. I've been watching Wolf Hall, but I've been watching it recorded, not live. So
go on, yeah, Greeny. We actually all I guess learned a bunch of stuff in the fall to that, which is even
yeah
better.
No, it was cool. Doc hasn't caught up on Cord Killers yet. He'll be doing that in the shower tomorrow morning or this morning.
So it's this morning, not tomorrow.
This morning, right? You can report back on the big show, mate. Greeny, what were you gonna say? Well, Greeny's joining us.
Well, I did look into that and I would disagree with that. So if you watch iPlayer live or not, you need a TV license to watch it. And it actually comes up, I think, when you're originally installed or whatever, you know, that it says you cannot watch the content on the BBC unless you pay a license fee. I don't know what it says outside of Britain, but it certainly says that inside this.
Outside of Britain, it says, you're not one of us, go away.
Yeah. Go on.
No, so let me just quote what it says here, because she sent the extract through. If this is a bloke, and I've got this wrong, I do apologise, but I think it's a woman. It says, live TV and how you watch it in relation to licensing. Live TV means any programmes you watch or record at the same time as are being shown on TV or online TV services. An online TV service is a service that mainly aims to provide TV programmes over the internet, on a website or through an Apple Smart TV. If you only ever watch on-demand programmes, You don't need a TV license. On demand includes catch up, TV, streaming or downloading programs after you've been shown on live TV or programs available online before they are on, before being shown on TV.
That sounds pretty thorough, doesn't it?
Well, that's an extract. So she's done a screen grab there of that. So I would take that. But
I get the message. BBC iPlayer TV programs are available to play in the UK only. Find out why.
And it goes right the way back to 1776.
Yeah, then no, it goes to immigration. It says,
there's an easy fix for that. It's called cloak.
Now, moving on, before we get into any further illegalities, how the devil are you, Greeny, by the way?
I'm very well. Thank you, sir. Excellent. And yourself?
I'm great, thank you. And last but by no means least, at 5 a.m., the dedication of this man is unparalleled. Dot Rock.
Hey, good morning. And you know, if I hang out with a bunch of Brits, it's not coffee. That's tea, sir.
Is it tea?
That is the liquor.
Well, there's no natural daylight in your house at the moment because it's so friggin' early, so everything
looks... The sun is stuck behind a volcano right now.
Everything's looking darker than it should, maybe. The week in Apple. I'm not a great lover of the Apple Watch, as you know, but it's made its print debut. It's on the front cover of Self magazine this week. There's a model there who's modeling it in a white wristband. There we go. And that's the end of it, I suppose. That's as much watch news as I'm willing to do. But I thought we could run a caption competition on that. My opener for 10 would be, Jesus, I haven't eaten for a month. This watch is really heavy. No?
That's Apple Watch, stick thin model not included.
So there you go. There's your two starters for 10. If you've got a caption to go with that, you can either send us the picture with some bubbles on it, or I'll have a go at making those for next week. We'll read a few of them out, and we'll make up a prize. We'll find some way.
A sandwich lady. Jeez.
Have you seen her arm? I don't know if that's an airbrush where they've given her an extra extra bicep. It's like the biceps come out too low.
Yeah, I see that now on the right arm.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. That would gross you out if you were on a date one night and she asked you in for coffee.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
You're so thin, both your biceps are showing in your right arm.
Well, there's a reflection on the forearm. Maybe I think that may be the cause of it, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. I will give her the benefit of the doubt.
So you're going to have to switch that watch from arms in order to even it out, like every couple of hours, just move it over to the other side. Just keep going back and forth.
So, is that what you're thinking? So you think the extra bicep on the right arms, because that's where the watch was.
Right.
And now
she's having it. There's a sort of tan line there where they forgot to smooth out, you know. They just got to flip them back and forth, or she got to wear two watches.
The Apple Watch comes free with an extra bicep.
And you can't even see the watch.
Well, which considering she's such a thin model is worrying.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The one thing I will say from that, I'm aware of the fact that she's a skinny model, so that even probably benefits. But Greeny and I have gone on quite a lot about what a fudging ugly thing it looks like. But I that doesn't look horrific on her, and it's not because she's got a wrist for watches, because she hasn't, because she's skinny. So
she hasn't got a wrist at all.
It does actually. Her arm is kind of the same length all the way down, the width
all the way down.
Yeah, it's the same diameter. I mean,
Bronwyn is saying exactly what I was thinking. Why do you need an entire body to show a watch? Just show a picture of the hand and the wrist.
Well,
you know, I guess the thing that's funny about it is they put this in motion long before yesterday when the Wall Street Journal published that Apple may have to give one of its health features on the first go-around, because everyone assumed, this is what you're for assuming instead of waiting for the damn thing to come out before you start yapping on about it forever. It's going to be primarily sold as a fitness device. And, well, this kind of because, well, Tim's a function, but they're realizing it's not meeting Apple standards. So they're pulled back on the fitness stuff and everything else come out first, and they're going to keep working on it until they get it right, which I give them much applaud because they are going to take their time and do it right versus rush it to market. LG, yeah. Samsung, let's try to get things out. So I think it's funny because they did this whole magazine shoot said to be the cover, but they, you know, they start these things three months in advance or whatever. And now it's kind of a waste because Apple says, it's going to be not more than a window to the M chip on your phone.
Although it will have the heart rate sensor still, so it'll have some.
Yeah. Some. It's just missing that BP, which I was looking for as a person
with
elevated blood pressure eating all this Hawaiian food. Well, I kind of would appreciate it to just be able to look down and monitor from time to time.
Well, hang on, isn't the hardware still there? It's just not activated.
So they just can't get it the way that they want it. I really appreciate them coming out already now and saying it rather than letting people buy it and then go deep in. That's kind of, you know, not something that we would have saw in the previous Apple, you know, as everyone like to say. So I give them credit for that, but...
Although, to be clear, as you said, this is all just rumors. Apple hasn't actually said anything except what Tim Cook said when he announced it, right? So... It was people starting rumors and then people having rumors that now contradict the rumors. It's like a whole ecosystem of rumors all on its own.
Which is why I understand curmudgeon's position on not on the watch and not wanting to talk about it. So we'll keep it like short. But I just think that people went a little bit early and now they're head to heads. And it's really funny to hear the way that people get on it now, and we're like what, a month away, a little bit more than a month away, and yet everyone's like getting wishy-washy. And you know what, Apple makes something, it's quote-unquote new, they're gonna all a metric crap ton of it, and even if they miss everyone's expectations by 50%, it's still billions of dollars. So shut up, stop hating, relax, and wait.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, I totally agree. Going back to Bronwyn's point about why don't they show just the watch and the wrist, Apple's had enough trouble with child labor issues. You wouldn't show that wrist on its own without a context. So let's stay away from that.
Well, she's a very beautiful young lady, isn't she?
She is, absolutely. Muller Bike has started the first one. My watch cost me so much, I can't afford to eat.
Poor thing.
She's probably extremely healthy, and there's some airbrush artist has taken her down from a semi-whale to that, so in Photoshop. So do apologize, young lady, if you're watching, which you're not, so who cares.
Tim Cook is gay.
Thank you, Will Green.
Wait, you're just getting this news over there?
I just got it the other day, if I'm honest. Tim Cook is gay. How about that?
Right, I mean... Most people have known for a while.
I think he's taken too. Sorry, man.
Steve Jobs died.
Yeah, he's married. Hasn't he married Stephen Fry?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
No.
Two national treasures uniting.
Now you're with royalty. Queens. No, I got to say, I kind of guessed at that about 2 years ago after Steve Jobs died. But I kind of like, well, I don't know. And then when the thing came out, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So. I don't think it was a huge secret, Will.
I heard Steve Jobs was straight.
Well,
and had a family.
I think he swung both ways on Stevie.
Oh, the letters I'm going to get this week.
Blasphemy.
I've got three letters here.
I was going to say blasphemy too.
I just want to know where that came from, Will.
Well, I mean, all love is good, isn't it? And he was a creative and free thing.
Another Apple rumor.
It's like John Lennon. I mean,
but that's not news.
Well, no, it's not news. But looking at a woman with a watch on isn't exactly news, is it either?
Fair
enough.
Though to be fair, this network doesn't deal in news an awful lot. the thing that gets me, Greenies, I've got three letters to read out on Big tonight, and one of them is where is it? Someone's complained that they felt that Wrighty was channeling Will Green.
Is that a compliment or?
I don't know, but I get that's the Big Show. I get emails about you.
If Tim Cook, and I applaud him that he's one of the senior business figures in the world, has come out as gay, I think that's a great thing. But if it was me, I'd do it properly, wouldn't you? Pink tutu, the lot. Next next World Wide Developer Conference, I'd go out there and celebrate it. What do you think? Or not? Would it work?
I think because not all gay guys automatically are the femme side. Some are the male side, the masculine and still gay. So that's, right. That was just a blanket statement that were going to get us all killed. Moving on.
Also, he spoke about this in October.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you've done shows since then, right, Will?
No. No, don't be silly. That's October.
No, I, to be fair, I don't think, well, I must have missed this. But I think what a very brave, because he's a very private man, isn't he? And it's and all of his good and stuff. Has he got a partner?
Yes, he has.
I mean, cool. he was second place for Person of the Year magazine because he had the pills to come out and tell everybody, being one of the largest CEO world, and knowing that that would make a difference for a bunch of people. Who, not just, you know, gay, but even people, anybody that works in their life trying to get over the stigmatisms that come with all types of, you know, oppression, for lack of a word. And he came out and he spoke about it and made kind of a, and that was the point of it. It wasn't really him being gay. He didn't come out to say that. He came out to say that everybody needs to relax and just treat people like people. And that was kind of a big deal. And he almost got Time Man of the Year. But then the Ebola, damn, I can't even speak now, it's 5 a.m. The Ebola fighters actually won for good reason.
Is it, did he come out just purely for fellow CEOs to come out?
Maybe. Well, he actually told everybody that you should be afraid at this point in time to come out. So if you're out there, come out. Kinda.
Yeah.
I think that was partying, but not completely.
Okay. Yeah.
He was just getting ahead of the rumor before anybody else did it, which is also, again, brilliant. You know? The guy is just brilliant all the way around.
He's boring. He's possibly the most boring presenter. I love him and he's great in everything, but he is a little bit dull, isn't he? I mean, when you watch his, when he goes out on the stage and does his thing, he's a little bit dull, isn't
he? Greeny, the connotation of what you're suggesting is the fact that he's dull because he's gay. It's not in at all.
No!
They are mutually exclusive.
If anything, the fact that he's gay has sexed him up a bit. He's given him a bit more interest.
What time are you going to leave, Will, again?
Steve Jobs the toughest act to follow on Earth? I mean, after seeing Steve, anybody's going to look boring.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Even Phil Schiller, fatty.
I mean, maybe if the CEO of Apple was Dame Edna, then we'd be up your alley. No,
moving on. Don't bring Dame Edna into this. Jesus. Well, that is quite possibly one of the most disrespectful conversations this show's ever had. And that is saying something.
There was no disrespect. There's no disrespect to people who are gay. My sister's gay. I mean, I don't give a monkeys. All love is good in my book, but it was good that he came out and he said he's gay. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but it, for me, his private life is his private life, and it was good that he came out and did that, but I don't know what it was for. But he's gay.
I imagine he would be happy to know that it stayed private even 5 months after he told the world.
I know. Obviously made a big impact, didn't it? I've got a press card. I'm a technological. I've got a press card, and I'm a tech journalist. But that one missed me. I just ordered
that one
because it's not a tech story.
That one. Booker, he says, imagine Will Green as Prime Minister. Just think of all the disasters he could create on a world stage.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about something else?
Come I agree. Muller says move on. I'm totally in agreement. So that was just with the watch story. So that's cool. Next thing.
Car.
Car. Right. Yeah, so. Car. So. Yes. So, Scar. So,
my favorite thing about the car are the graphics that all of the articles have used. Have you seen them? They are just so great.
They're made up.
There's a pumpkin coach with an apple on it, and oh gosh, search the web and look for the images that go to the stories. They're great.
Well, now General Motors CEO Dan Ackerson has come out and said, as far as Apple in a car is concerned, what the f***? And I've got to say...
Did he actually say that?
No, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
But I mean, if GM's well known for making cars. It's well known for being in a pile of crap for making cars and getting bailed out. And if he said they better think carefully if they want to get into the hardcore manufacturing of cars. We take steel, raw steel, turn it into a car. They've no idea what they're getting into if they think they can get into that.
Yeah, but they're going to just buy Tesla, who's already doing it.
You think they're going to buy Tesla?
Well, I heard that as a rumor, and I thought, you know what?
It makes sense.
That merger would make total sense because the cultures are the same. They're real, you know, forward-thinking, high-tech cultures. Wouldn't it be cool if the Apple engineers collaborated with the Tesla guys to do all the electronics, all the onboard electronics?
Yeah, no.
The hard part about buying Tesla, because I don't care how much money you have, when Elon says we're not for sale, then we're not for sale. Now,
well, I don't know how much. I was trying to find out how much stock he has. Because if he doesn't have 51%, somebody with enough money could buy it.
Well, hang on, Bob. Hang on. Finish off what you're saying, Doc, and then come back to it, Bob.
No, I'm saying, like, Elon specifically said, even when asked, like, I think about 2 ago, and actually Tom said this on his show, that, yeah, Elon said no, so it's kind of hard for Apple to buy a company that's not for sale. I mean, they're poaching employees back and whatnot, you know, as the stories have come out over the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, I don't necessarily see Apple needing to buy Tesla. The one thing that we would gain out of Apple buying Tesla, batteries all the way around. So that's phone, computer, like everything that uses it. That's where Tesla is kicking everyone's butt, is in the battery market.
Do you think it's possible that Apple has a breakthrough in battery technology that they want to apply to the automotive space?
Well, that could also be the case as well. Very true.
Well, aren't they facing a lawsuit from A123? Because
anybody that gives their company A123 should just shut up.
Well, no, hang on. Let me just read out the article here. Apple facing lawsuit from poaching key battery engineers from A123 Systems. So they filed a lawsuit on 6 February in Massachusetts Superior Court alleging Apple hired away 5 employees who developed new battery technology and products and tested existing products, but they haven't specified. No one's sure about what area of battery technology they worked in, whether it was small component stuff or whether it was mooey big stuff like cars might be.
But. Well, you say that A123 is electric car battery maker, so I mean, yeah, there's that possibility too. But I think the funny thing, you know, going back to what you talk about, the former CEO, does anybody remember Randolph Stevenson and the guy for him, whose name escapes me, AT&T? They were first getting, I was first getting into the iPhone. They were the only guys on their side. All the other guys, Sprint, your Verizon, all of them, they all came out and said, oh, Apple, you should never make a phone. You know, making a phone is hard. Blah, 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 blah. And now Tim Cook and the gang are sitting having a cup of English breakfast going, yeah, we should have listened to you guys, huh?
Well, I mean, before, I'll come back on that in a second. Tom, what's your thoughts on the Apple car and Tesla and then merging, because you seem quite reticent about that just when mentioned it.
Sure. I was actually just trying to figure out if I could answer the question about Musk's shareholding. It turns out there's only 23% hold 5% of Tesla. So yeah, nobody's a major shareholder. That is an interesting point. As far as what I think's going on with the Apple car, I believe that Apple, and in fact, everybody knows this, Apple is always looking into potential technologies in a lot of arenas that they're not in. That's how we got the iPhone. That's how we got the iPad. And I have a feeling that they're looking at all kinds of avenues. I mean, they already have CarPlay. So it makes sense for them to start hiring people away from other car manufacturers who have in-car electronics experience, which we know that they've done that, right? And so they're probably looking at, well, all right, let's make a prototype of a self-driving car. It's not incredibly, you know, impossible for a company to make a prototype of that now. All the car manufacturers have them. Google has them. So Apple would do that to see, okay, what kinds of software can we test here? What kinds of developments can we make? And I think at that stage, Apple's going to think of everything, you know, from simple music playing all the way up to, could we make our own car? Because they want to see what's possible. But this goes back to what Doc was saying earlier about with the watch. They look at what's all possible and then they figure out what they can reliably produce. I don't think Apple is anywhere near reliably producing a car. I think it's more likely that out of all of this comes a partnership, and maybe a partnership with Tesla makes the most sense. And when you're talking partnerships, a lot of times you explore all avenues of partnerships. Should it be some kind of formal partnership? Should we invest in the company? Should we buy the company? Those are all on the table. And I think all of those things are what gives rise to all of these rumors, because it doesn't mean that Apple wants to buy Tesla or Tesla wants to sell to Apple. But if they're talking partnerships, they're going to say, well, would it make sense to do some kind of merger or something, some kind of acquisition? Even if that's not what they want, they're going to explore that to see if it makes sense.
I think perhaps this is a head fake and that Apple and Tesla are already talking. You know, this whole thing about poaching employees is a smokescreen.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, okay. That's
it's a great thing to say, and it goes on all the time. So making that the focus kind of takes the focus off whether they're actually talking to each other. But I think Apple could do a lot for Tesla, and Tesla could probably do a lot for Apple. Maybe they cross-license stuff. Apple starts giving them the Maps interface and all the Maps data.
Exactly.
Although I'm not sure that's a positive thing. But, you know, if Apple controlled the in-dash experience... Because that thing's all electronic. There's no real gauges. Everything's a screen. It's pretty cool, actually. So it's all running. And in fact, I read somewhere that the other day they put out a software upgrade that improved your mileage and top speed. A software upgrade that comes in over the air to your car.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that getting over the air thing is kind of cool because I've been a Beamer guy for a long time, and normally you got to spend $800-900 for a Denon chip in order to change the software in order to make your Beamer even cooler than out of the gate. And then now to think that you could do that by going to an app store and be like, oh, I'm going on a long trip, so let me get the best mileage curves and then, you know, like have it go to your car or something.
Stick him in.
I mean, yeah. I think that's kind of crazy. And I would also like to see Apple help them out on these, because I do love Teslas. And even when I got my current car, which back in October, I did take a look possibly getting a Tesla, but it's just still too ugly for me.
Well, and
so,
it's a one-year wait. It's not like you can go in and buy one, you know. Oh, I want to drive it off the lot.
Oh, no, you got to order them bad boys. But there's a lot of them in Hawaii. There's a whole bunch of them here.
I think
there's a lot of them in Austin all of a sudden.
I've done work for automotive here in the UK in the past, and the one thing I can tell you is it is a brutal, brutal industry. And I'm sure consumer electronics is fairly brutal in its own right as well as. But the problem that you've got with the automotive industry is that there are very few manufacturing firms because of the, you know, if you look at the Venn diagram of who owns who, there's not that many at the top end of it. And also, there's not that many suppliers, but those suppliers are supplying vast quantities to those not few companies. And you think, well, okay, surely that works in the realms of the suppliers. No, it doesn't. What happens is the companies go down to the suppliers and they say, right, loved what you did last year. We're going to order the same quantity from you and make it 5% cheaper. And if they go, well, we can't make it 5% cheaper, they go, yes, make it 5% cheaper. Screw you. Just make it 5% cheaper. That's the end of it.
They can make it 5% smaller.
No, I mean, if you look at, you'd be surprised. There's one company makes 60% of the windows in all of the world's cars. And the companies that they go to come to them and say, make it cheaper, make it this brand, make it this model, make it this level of standard, cut back on this quality or cut back on this level of machining and that kind of stuff, but make it cheaper. And you know, that one company will be a massive supplier and will be huge to the rest of the world, but they don't believe that they can't get Windows if they don't want to. It's just that the other company that makes Windows will suddenly get significantly more business.
They could only have one door, and everybody has to climb in the back maybe and sort of get into their seats.
I knew at some point we'd have to explain the word car to Greeny during this story.
Well, with my camper van, that's pretty much the way it is. Neither of the doors are open.
That's because it's old and knackered.
Old and knackered? How dare you?
I'm sure it's very comfortable, but...
Yeah. You have to get in via the back sort of seaty thing, climb across and get into the thingy. And I'm sure if somebody like Tesla or whatever they call, or Ford employed those sort of design techniques, we could easily shave 10%, 20% off a car. Make it a bit smaller. Make the wheels a little bit smaller as well.
So you honestly think that a door where you have to climb through the boot to the driver's seat will catch on?
I think it would save money.
That'd be the trunk for the Americans on the podcast, by the way.
It'd be the Ryan Air. Have you seen the bill
bumpers on people in the United States? We ain't getting in the car through the back. We go halfway, and I'm speaking from experience. I'm a big dude.
You could do a little slide. You could have, like, when you open the boot, there's a little slide that you get onto and zoom.
Well, I mean, I think the sunroof is a vastly underused entry into a car.
Yes. A little ladder on the side of the car, and you get in via the sunroof.
It's not like it's a tall thing, is it?
What is this got to do with Apple News anyway? I've totally lost the plot. What are we talking about? Why are we talking about cars?
Greenie, the people have known that longer than they've known Tim Cook was gay. Right, Samsung has bought Loop. Loop Pay, because Loop Pay is a rival to Apple's Apple Pay system, allegedly. And I've got to say, as with all things that Samsung does, as soon as a picture comes out, you think, God, that's got lawsuit written all over it. I'm sure this is a mock-up and it's not accurate, but Loop Pay is going to come to Samsung. They've purchased it. Is this, I mean, we talked on the big show a couple of weeks ago, Doc, about Samsung being less worried about the handset market and backing away a little bit from it. Is this because they were thinking about kind of hit Apple on this out front? Because I mean, Apple have done so much with Apple Pay that's got that initial buzz and news gathering process that you just think, I can't see the second person here is going to do any better.
You know, I guess the thing, you know, I've been thinking about this ever since I heard this story. The story is not that old. It's only a couple hours old. One of the last things I read before I went off to bed last night. For Samsung, they realize, and they're so big, that in the pay space, if you want to make any money right now, Apple definitely, they got the kill on it. But you went in bed with somebody like the MCC idiots who are trying to, like, block Apple Pay, or the next thing right behind it, because all of the monkey that stands on them and collects the coconuts that fall is just as rich as the monkey that's pulling them off the top, because Apple can only get so many. And when you think about how many phones are out right now worldwide, which are billions, and Apple's only rocking it right now with about 4 or 5% of the payment, yet they're kicking everybody else's butt in the long run, the long game. So if you could just small portion, a long game, there's still a lot of money. It's an absolute lot of money. So I think it's play, but Loop Pay never really caught on here in the U.S. I swear I know two people that ever had that little thing that was the case, the Loop Pay case. And I one of them was at Macworld and one of them was back here. So I don't know if the right company.
Well, I think they could be, though, and the reason is you had to buy a case and you had to buy a dongle, and that, for most people, that's way too much thought. Like, oh, to make it more convenient, I have to do this thing, I have to pay for this thing. Forget it, I'll just use my credit card. But if all of a sudden you're buying a Samsung phone and built in is the ability to pay with your phone at any terminal, that's the neat thing about Loop Pay is they don't use NFC. They just emulate a magnetic card swipe. So every terminal you go to potentially can take this, right? Which is even more widespread than Apple Pay. And right. I think that's a really smart acquisition Samsung in that respect.
Would you have done Loop or Coin apps? Because I think Coin had a kind of better look, and they didn't get the takeoff yet, but I think that Samsung could have probably helped them, you know, smooth out a little bit.
Well, yeah, and maybe Samsung looked at Coin too, and Loop Pay was just a better buy. But I guess what I'm saying is the key is building it into a popular phone, whatever it is.
Yes, yeah. That and Samsung to figure out a way to handle that secure enclave segment, because that's the one thing that Apple has that, you know, just perfect at the moment for this type of setup.
I think I've fallen foul there, Doc, on your first point about looking at Apple and thinking, you know, actually, the de facto payment system is Apple's. Wow, they've done so much. That'll attract so many people in through the door that all of a sudden they'll be half the world's market the payments, and of course they won't, because you know they're not half the world's market in phones. So
yeah, this is so true, and that's the thing about it. There's so much room left to grow in this space. It's just that Apple did it right, so they're catching the noise right now, and they're catching the noise right now because people watch everything they do. I mean, if they was to have, you know, some ale and beans for lunch, every time they were to crack a cheek, like, the whole world would talk about it. Oh, Apple smarted. I'm like it's kind of irritating sometimes to hear the type of things that people report to Apple. I was like, shut up, leave them alone. But in this case, it works in Samsung's favor. They come in behind, and they don't really have to copy much. They can do their own thing and still do great with it.
Booker in the chat room says, when is the rest of America going to at least get chip and pin?
In the midst of it, right
next
now.
Month we start the rollout next month. And, I mean, sorry, not June. And then somewhere between June and December, they hope to get it done. It's going to take a year, but it's 6 months, and by the end of the year, we should all be there. A lot of places have already got the new machines in a lot of weeks when you go shopping at the Walgreens or whatever.
I read a book years ago. I can't remember the name of it. It was a sci-fi novel. And it was it was like an interstellar thing where they'd taken people who were going to be the new lifeboat for humanity. They would put them on a spaceship and they sent them off towards this star cluster that they knew there was a habitable planet on it. And 150 years later, a spaceship from Earth caught up to them and said, nah, we've been there. You can't live there. Come back with us. Because the technology advanced so much that they were already late. And that just sounds exactly like that. You know, in June, we're going to start implementing a technology that was here 10 years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, and it's been such a thing. Okay. In Hawaii, of course, you know, we're a huge tourist destination, and ever see somebody try to bust out a chip and pin card like JCB or some of the guys from Deutsche Bank or Credit Suisse, they look so disappointed when they can't use their card here. And it's finally starting to catch up. So a lot of the bigger stores have it, but a lot of older stores still don't, but they just look at what you don't take a JCB card or a Credit Suisse card. And then the poor guy at the cash register is like, oh no. And then they start, you know, speaking in whatever the native. So I understand the Japanese people saying, like, I can't believe this. They don't take this. You know, it's kind of funny. But, you know, most of the people just bust out something, other payment, and keep going. But it has been a conversation here quite a long time.
We shall see. Time will tell. Apple Pay is supposed to be coming out to the rest of the world, isn't it, after the next keynote? Somewhere-ish, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
You know what was big, though, is the Staples conversation about their iOS app is like 52% Apple Pay take-up. Part of that, my curiosity behind that story is it really because it's their iOS? Like, it hasn't really taken off in the store quite yet. No, I'm sorry, it's just 30%. I'm sorry, I dropped this, the Kelly Hodgkin, Steve Sandy story, my homies. And I think part of that is because I did it. I went and just bought something. People wanted to use Apple Pay, but it's not like me to go to Staples. Normally, I go to the Max Depot or to Amazon, but I was just looking for an excuse to use Apple Pay, so I bought something. And so I'm wondering, that is people goofing off playing around, or is it really because it's that much easier to order things from Staples?
Well, I think you're going to see a certainly, from my viewpoint, you know, when Apple Pay comes, I'll probably go out and I'll use it for the novelty value. But then a week later, I'll be like, stuff it. I'm going to order it from Amazon because I get it next day and I don't have to leave the house.
Yeah, I mean, I do find, and this is only speaking of myself, I do find myself at the Walgreens more than anywhere else because I can use the app.
We'll never know what Doc could use. Never mind, he's frozen. He's gone.
Oh, no.
Someone grab that screenshot. That's not a bad screenshot.
Oh. I go, yeah. It freaks them out, and they still haven't figured it out. So I kind of enjoy that, and I kind of purposely look for a cashier that hasn't seen me before so I can give them out.
The sad fact
so far, I've only found two places within easy driving distance of my house that use Apple Pay, McDonald's and Whole Foods, and I don't really want to go to either one of them that often.
Doc, unfortunately, will never know.
Yeah, I don't go to McDonald's at all. Don't you have a whole type of Walgreens?
No, not near me. It's all CVS.
They don't take Apple haters. Pay.
They absolutely hate
it. Oh, they never will, according to the story rumor. So, Is that so, like an East Coast, West Coast thing?
Not really. We have Walgreens out here, just not my neighborhood.
It's like a, Bob. I thought not like a Bob Evans thing. You only seem to get Bob Evans in kind of Midwesty type places.
Right, right. No, it's not like that. There's Walgreens all over the place, but they're much more prevalent up in San Francisco.
Like, oh my God, that's funny. That was my grandmother's favorite place. She just
Bob Evans.
Bob Evans.
She loved to go to Bob Evans. So was down she called on the it. Farm.
I was because the first time I ever went to the States, my cousin said, "Oh, we're going to take you to Bob Evans for breakfast. You'll enjoy it." I'm like, "Okay." So this is my first Americana experience, if you like. And we sit down. It took me 10 frigging minutes to order breakfast because you go in like the Castle Diner at the end of the street. When you come over, Doc, I'll take you to Castle Diner. You walk in, you go, "Hi, mate, can I have bacon and eggs? Can I have a full English? Can I have a bacon and egg sandwich?" And that's it. You go in there and it's like, "Can I have sausage? Yeah, do you want links, patties?" And there was like a list of three things I could have. And you're like, "Well, what's a link and what's a patty then?" So she has to explain what a link and a patty is. And then I'm like, "Okay." And then it's bacon. And then I got two choices on bacon. Well, what's the difference between them? And it was 10 minutes before I'd actually, I'm not kidding, it was literally like 10 minutes before I'd finally got a bloody breakfast order in.
Oh God!
10 minutes.
It's like Android versus iOS, right? Yeah. Your diner is iOS. Bob Evans is Android. Thing.
It's the exact same sausage, flat, and one is round. So I never did understand why we just didn't get rid of one.
It's just like
the link. Actually, screw the patty. Links are better.
You go to the Castle Diner and you walk in there. If at 10 minutes, I said to him, "Can I have a bacon and egg sandwich this morning?" Because I was waiting for the supermarket to open. And I sat down, and within 10 minutes, I'd got my bacon and egg sandwiches eaten. If it had come out, because it comes out on white bread. You know, and that's it. It's Canadian bacon in inverted commas with an egg on it, fried. And you order a bacon egg sandwich, that's what you get. And if I'd have said to him, "Sorry, mate, I meant could I have it on brown toast?" He'd have gone, "What are you, gay?" It would have been, that'd have been awful. It's like,
I'm dying to taste this black pudding stuff. It looks scary, but.
Oh, black pudding's awesome, mate. And Costco here sells like a chunk of black pudding that's like a foot long. And about that in diameter. And it's great because you go and buy that and I bring it home, chop it up, put it in plastic bags because the family hates it. So when we ever have like a fryer, which is only once a month or something, I never get to have it. So I just put it in the freezer and then I can pull out a little bit that's just big enough for me. It's perfect.
Nice.
Sketchy rumor is claiming that MacBooks, Magic Mouse and Trackpad are all going to get Touch ID. Huzzah! Booker in the chat room says, "You want brown bread? You dating Tim Cook?" Oh, come on, Green.
Anyway, it's not Walgreens. It's Wilgreens.
Wilgreens, very good. He's been sitting on that joke for 10 minutes.
I know. I forgot to turn my mic up. I've been chatting away, and no f***er has heard me.
Oh, Greeny! I'm gonna write the time down for that. Right, anyway, so Touch ID is going to come on Magic Mouse, Trackpad, and MacBooks. Gotta say, gets my vote. Anyone else?
Yeah, gets my vote too. I use Touch ID, the best use, my favorite use, I guess is the way I should put it, of using Touch ID is LastPass. Not having to type in that entire thing, the entire chain every time.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing is Touch ID big enough as a single sales feature on its own? Because having an iPad Air 1 and now having had Touch ID for the first time on my iPhone 6 Plus, I would buy a new iPad Air just because it had Touch ID on it. I don't care if it's any faster or whether it plays more games or whether it does any more that I couldn't do on my iPad Air 1. I'd buy it just because. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I hate typing in my passcode. Greeny?
I don't know, man. Go ahead,
Greeny. Well, I didn't say anything.
Well, Greeny, because you're the first time with Touch ID as well, aren't you, with your six?
Yes. Yes. To be honest, I don't actually use it very much.
Okay.
I just sort of become a creature of habit. I did find it quite interesting when I first... From a tech point of view, it's very clever, isn't it? What I would like, and I did hear rumors that they're going to do it, that you can buy apps by just putting your finger on there. So instead of having to put your, you know, I think at that point it would become really useful. But as it stands at the moment, I appreciate the technology, but I don't particularly use it very much.
Okay. I wish I'd asked Tom now. What do you want? What do you want to say, Tom?
Shut up. I know what that was.
I don't have a Touch ID on my iPad. I have an iPad 3rd gen. And every once in a while, I'll try to log in. I'll be like, oh, right. Don't have Touch ID on there. But otherwise, I don't really run into it that much on the iPad, just the way I use it. So I don't think it's the kind of thing that makes me want to buy something new. Maybe it will for other people like yourself, obviously.
What makes me laugh about what Tom is saying is I can't tell you, Tom, how times I pick up my iPad and I go like this and I go, what the f*** is wrong? Because my iPad will be,
all right,
but it doesn't have Touch ID. And so I keep pressing it and I'm like looking at it and I go, oh, you guys, it's the wrong device.
No, I am guilty of having done that with my iPad as well. I click on it and there's a couple of times you press and you're like, come on. And you realize, not good.
Yeah.
Especially when I do it on my Nexus 9.
That's the longest time looking for car keys. And I always keep my car keys in my computer bag. And then it took me a while to realize I don't have to take my keys out of my bag in my car. I can just walk up and press the button. But like, you know, once you build that habit, it's in you.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of funny, but I would have Touch ID on my mouse. I just don't think this rumor is anywhere near close.
I haven't got another tablet to kind of get lost on, but have you really, joking apart, Tom, have you actually done it on a non-Apple device?
No, I haven't.
Because I could believe you would. I mean, it's not beyond the realms of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no. Bloody hell.
I've ordered a new tablet.
I'm scared to ask.
I'm scared to make Will full screen. Go on, mate. Yeah.
It's the BlackBerry Playbook.
It's not new. Yes.
They
don't make it anymore.
Yeah. You can still get them off Amazon and eBay for, 64 gig. You can get for about I paid £136 for a 64 gig, 7-inch BlackBerry Playbook tablet. Latest technology available.
Is that where you read your news?
Sounds good to ask the same question.
Yeah, the new feature of the BlackBerry Playbook is that it picks up RSS feeds from 4 years ago.
It's all about build quality and what's the word I'm looking for? A certain vibe, a certain karma. Vibe. Yeah.
I think, Will, I have something I'm not using anymore that it might interest you. It's
you can start off,
Timex,
Tom. I know
Sinclair 1000.
Oh,
you went back. I thought computer. You were going to say a pocket PC, like the compact iPad, but you went way back. See, had one of those Sinclairs. I think I was like 8, though.
Now, the thing is, Tom, that just if you can hold it up again for us, sorry. That is the perfect manufactured tech. Not because of that view, but if you just go to the side elevation, all good tech should be a doorstop when you're finished with it. And that's what that is. It is the perfect piece of tech.
So it's a Sinclair 1000. What is that then? Is that a 48K 128? What is that?
It's a ZX81 for you, or ZX.
Oh, ZX81. Okay, yeah.
Rebadged.
There's nothing wrong with those. I thought the ZX80 was a beautifully designed piece of technology. I you know, it's all this new kids on the block, you're all fancy, you're all, you know, all that. You need to sort of, respect the past a little bit more and embrace it. And that's why I've gone for the BlackBerry playbook. Playbook. I don't like the word playbook. It gives across the sort of wrong vibe, doesn't it? I've got a playbook. I'm just going to get my playbook.
Actually a decent tablet.
No, I don't know. Tom, I admire you and I applaud you, sir, for...
Greeny, he was taking the piss.
Thanks. It even has a calculator app.
That's a good thing.
It's that plug on the side. Is that like a keypad thing that goes on the side, Tom?
Yeah, no, this is just a calculator, actually.
No, that's TI-30, Texas Insurance.
Circa 1978.
I had one of those. I had that exact one. Well, it looks like the exact one. And I had
They were pretty close models back then.
Yeah, I had the Texas Instruments watch that had the LCDs on. That was... there used to be a Radio Shack Tandy in Chelmsley Wood, and I went and bought that with my pocket money when I was a kid.
There used to be Radio Shacks.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We never had Radio Shack. It was Tandy in the UK, and it was kind of like a Radio Shack, if you want. And it's Maplin now. But they still exist. And Maplin do quite well, actually. You can go in there and you buy single LEDs and things like that. There's all the proper componentry and stuff. Yeah, and sometimes you'll get stuff there that's on back order on the online store.
All our Radio Shacks are going away, seems like. Yeah.
Sad.
If you want to bring it on, Tom, my calculator is 1971.
Aha. You win, sir.
Which was the year I was born, fortunately. My calculator is as old as I am.
You were born with a calculator in your hand.
Yes, exactly.
I never thought I'd live to see a duel done with shit tech.
these are good calculators. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Although I'm going to get emails about that because it's not shit tech, is it? No, it's cool 80s crap. So there we go. The latest Modern Family is going to be filmed entirely on iPads and iPhones.
And a MacBook Pro.
And a MacBook Pro. Is that in as well? It didn't say that on my story. Where'd you get that then?
I read it this morning on another story. I could go through my history and find it, but
no,
it said most
you.
Of it was shot on iPhones and iPads with a couple of things shot on a MacBook Pro. But even so, it was all shot on Apple gear.
Yeah.
No real cameras, no Reds, no big, movie cameras, nothing like that.
And it all takes place on a desktop, if I understand it right. Is that right?
The storyline, apparently, yeah. It's going to unfold in the computer. That's kind of cool.
Is it a FaceTime type experience thing, most of the storyline, yeah?
I don't know.
What it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, from what it's showing on the picture that I saw.
There sure were a lot of stories about it.
Yeah, no, I mean...
February 25th, the episode will revolve around main character Claire trying to track down her daughter after a flight.
I think after a fight.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. After a fight. That makes more sense.
Although, the next season, there will be one about the flight as well, I'm sure. Because that's a good storyline already.
I was like, that doesn't sound very interesting. But
Claire gets drunk and punches a flight attendant.
Now, the thing that gets me about these stories is, and it did when they did the, when they did an episode that was entirely shot on the Canon 5D when it first came out. I think it was was it that show as well? They were kind of at the cutting edge of it, yeah. And that's great, don't get me wrong. And the reason that it allows you to do that is because the sensors are so, so much improved. But what people just don't get is the fact that, yes, it was shot on an iPhone and an iPad, but...
It was lit by professionals.
There was 60 grand's worth of lighting there. And that's the point. Is all the stuff that came out on Yosemite when they were doing, and when the iPhone 6 came out, and here's a picture of a girl down at Monument Valley sat on a horse, and that was taken with an iPhone 6. And you're like, but there's probably a 100-person crew there. You know, someone's holding the horse's head on the mark, and the lighting and reflectors that were around there were probably unbelievable.
I just posted in the chat to Intelligent Details, which is still one of my favorite short films, aka PVCM, commercial video, whatever you call it. And it was for Bentley, and it was shot on iPhone and iPad. And somebody did the breakdown after the company got together, and they showed you what their kit looks like, so their rig that they had one sitting in, it's like an $8,000 rig. And, then they go through, they did do the editing in the backseat of the Bentley. They did a bunch of stuff to prove the tech is there. But when you mention how great it is, and you look at the lenses and the other stuff that they added in order to get it to look like it does, it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. It's definitely not, here's a $600 phone and a little grippy thing you picked up from Joe and you shot this. It also requires many, many years of talent to get to this point as well. So I agree with you, Ewan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to get the screenshot there of what you've just said. Your audio has been dropping out quite badly, actually, at sometimes, Doc. So,
who the hell's down rap at 6 a.m.?
Duttery. It might be at my end, I don't know. But there you go. I mean, that's the rig that you're talking about from that film. So that is an iPhone, yes, but it's in a complete carbon frame with triggers and God knows what else hanging off it. So that they can get the framing that they want for it. They do it properly.
Well, yeah, I get the feeling that the Zars Technica story says they took inspiration from Noah, which is a 17-minute film from 2013 that takes place on OS X desktop. And I have a feeling that the point was we want to tell a story entirely through the computer screen. And then how do we do that? Well, it makes sense to have people on FaceTime, on iPhones, on laptops, etc. And so then it's less about like, can we do this cheaply? It's more about, okay, how do we make an iPhone shot look good, right?
Mm.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I do applaud it, and I think it's excellent, and there's some fantastic stuff that has been done on lesser devices. But let's not go overboard saying that it's the device that's the spectral phenomenon that's allowed this. It's not. It absolutely isn't. This podcast and all the
others... Hold on.
Oh, Greeny, God forbid I move on without your opinion, mate. Go ahead.
No, it's only because I've got personal experience with this. I made a film with the CIO of a company called John Lewis, very big, in Exeter, and... It was certainly on Computer Weekly, and I heard that it was on the BBC as well. And I used it purely using an iPad. And that was an iPad 2 as well, so it wasn't high def or anything like that. And I think it's very easy, and it was a great success. And I think it's very easy to get caught up in how high definition is it, how great is the audio, and and most people don't really care. What they do care about is the story being told, and in this instance it worked really well, and there was the point being is we shot it on an iPad 2. It was me and Paul basically going around Exeter, John Lewis, and recording this. And then I sort of edited it and put it together a bit and published it. And it was a real, real success. So for guys out there who are listening to this, and girls, obviously, don't get too caught up on the tech. What you need to get caught up on is the creative aspect. The creative aspect always makes the difference. You can... get a wonderfully high-res Photoshop image, or you can write it on a bit of paper. It's the creative input that makes the difference. So another side to that story. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree entirely. I mean, even just stuff like thinking about your transition times and when it hits the beats of the music will make a massive difference to a film being crap or good. Most definitely. I mean, I'll go back to the days when I first started in photography. And I couldn't afford expensive equipment. I was losing all my money getting stuff processed in laboratories. So I, reverse lens macro. Someone laughed at me on a podcast a few years ago, when I talked about it. I was like, no, that was all I had. I was 17 years old. I owned two lenses. I couldn't, neither of them were macro. That's the only way I could shoot macro. And they were rubber banded together. So there's no substitute for a genuine creative talent. Totally agree, Greeny. Spot on. Thank you for that sensible point. Doc, you got one thing you wanted to say?
Yeah, only because here's a guy that I've always looked up to, and he's kind of been a big part of my Apple life. And, he's come out to Hawaii to speak for my user group all times, as did Tom, as a matter of fact. And I missed that meeting because I was doing Spam Jam, but it's a real thing.
That's a good reason, though. I went to a little bit of that. That was awesome.
You were upstairs at Spam Jam when I was down. I mean, you were upstairs at the Mac user group thing, and I was downstairs at Spam Jam. You guys were at, Jimmy Buffett's, yeah?
No, we were at a college somewhere.
Oh, KCC, that's correct.
Yeah, we were at KCC.
Anyway, right. Apple World today, my buddy Steve again, they posted a nice story about Breeny, Body of Breen, or the hair of Breen or the doof on himself. Breen is taking off to go work at Apple. And that's big news because, you know, a lot of people, of course, Macworld thing was like, where's everybody going? And, you know, we have some great comes out of that, like, you know, Colors with Jason Snell and Serenity is now at iMore. But to see Breeny going to work at Apple, now we don't know what he's going to do. And we're not
They're going to make a piano, it's clear.
I'm assuming it's based around his music skill.
It's obvious they're going to make a piano.
I grew up loving, and so I'm very this moment, I guess.
Why would you hire Chris Breen if it wasn't to make a piano?
Don't forget they also hired Lal Shimpy from Anantech. So is this just getting people into the public relations side that know journalism, or is it something else?
I think they're going to be writing manuals.
There's journalism and music, because Breeny can kick ass at both of those.
Now,
but guess what? Chris told me the Macworld All-Star Band will go on. Even though he's leaving the technology sphere.
That was my question, because there could be a clause in his contract that says you can't play a note outside of Apple.
Nope, he can do music. He can't write about technology, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. Because you remember Barry said, like, what, last week on the show, we go to his barbecue, that he was going to try to get the band up.
Yeah.
And we accepted.
Cool.
We accept any offer. We'll play anywhere anybody will have us.
Oh, you should check out Barry's LinkedIn for the he's throwing a big barbecue in his backyard.
Yeah,
we're still talking to him. We want to make it happen, but it's complicated with a band with seven guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But we're trying. We'd like to.
MacMidwestBarbecue.com if you're going to check that out. Barry Folk's back garden, and you call it a back garden, but it's more like Illinois. So.
What was that URL again?
Midwest Mac Barbecue. I did say to him on the podcast, he needs to put a toilet at the bottom end of the garden because I'm not walking back up to go to the loo. It's too far. Definitely. He's got like a back 40. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well do a bash talk about just to keep it, you know, since we'll do that in a second. Producer.
Booker in the chat room says, is Breeny going to Apple to make the church organ for them?
No, actually, I heard he was going to disassemble the Bösendorfer in the lobby. Because now that Steve's not around, his Bösendorfer, you know.
Wow. My school had a Bösendorf.
I saw one once. Yeah.
My school had one. I think they've still got it, but I don't know if it's still in tune or not. The Bash, while we're talking about Midwest Barbecue.com, which is Barry Folk's thing that's happening the week before the Bash, or 20th, something like that, of June. Then British Tech Bash is on the 4th of July. Yes, Independence Day. We're going to have a good soiree down here in Water Orton near Birmingham, and it's going to cost you £20 for a ticket if you want to come, but... you don't need to pay for anything then after that. That's the hire of the hall. It's kind of sharing the cost amongst us all, effectively. We make no real profit on it or anything like that. So it's the cost of the hall, all your food, all your beer, and that will pay for all the drink and food that anyone under 16 drinks as well as. And last year, we had an absolutely fantastic family bash. There was food and drink, could be soft drinks. Doc, don't snigger. And we had families came, and it was great. I mean, I think we must have had 20, 25 kids there, from literally kids that were still in nappies, diapers, up to 16-year-olds who had a great time as well and enjoyed it. Well, the other thing we're going to do this year as well, and we're going to run this as a trial, so it's going to be at my house, is we're going to do a What I Know Day. So it's going to be kind of like a little conference-y type thing, but... we're going to get five or six guest speakers who are going to come to my house, and they're going to deliver a session on something that they know in tech. So Alan Hauschel's agreed to do one, and he's going to talk about something to do with Windows and Windows phones. I was agreed to do one on photography or on building a drone, and I'll build a drone right there in the afternoon. In the hour slot that I've got, and we've got a couple of other people. Paul Wheatley's doing something on wireframing, how to do that, how to start up wireframing, which is big for the kids to have a go at as well as. So it'll be fun for the family as well. But We're going to do that on the day after. There's going to be tickets for that because I can't fit physically more than about 30 people in my house for that event. So if you'd like a ticket for that as well, you need to just send me an email. There's no charge for it or anything like that. But I'm going to need to know that you want to come, and I'm going to have to turn you away if there's more people here for that. But we're just going to do that as a trial. And if people like that, then that's going to be the Sunday of the bash. It'll be an alcohol-free day, but it'll be more techie-based stuff and bring a subject in, you know, and we'll get some guest speakers in as well. So it'll be a kind of a three-day event then at that point. So we've got the curry on the Friday, the bash on the Saturday, and the techie day on the Sunday, which I'm really looking forward to. I hope that takes off, because it would be good to have some people over to talk about that as well. If you're coming from overseas, then we'll sort you out with a ticket. Don't worry about that, because you're spending enough getting over. We'll kind of figure out how we're going to deal with that. But if you can come, please come, because it'll be a fantastic day. It always is loads and loads of fun. And the curry's really good. It's the best curry house in the world. Apart from the aftab, which is extremely good as well as, although I'm not going to say it's better. And
can we go on equals?
Think we can. I do enjoy aftab. I think aftab's an excellent curry, mate. Absolutely excellent curry. I will definitely say that. Greeny will be there. I'll be there. The family will be there. There'll be loads and loads of people there. Wheatley's will be there. And Wrighty's going to be there. And Lee Garrett's going to be there. And all the people are going to be there. So it's going to be loads and loads of fun. Get your tickets now. You can go to our website and click on the banner, and it goes through, and it's just a simple PayPal thing. The hotel over the road is still £58 for two nights if you want it, and you can get your third night, and it'll only take it up to £75. So that's $120 for three nights accommodation. It's not the best hotel in the world. No one's saying it is, but as long as you're the only animal in the bed, that's all that matters to me when I stay away for a short period of time. And this podcast is brought to you by UK2. We'd be lost without them. I'm going to go and see them and have a cup of tea with them next Tuesday. I'm down in London. I'm going to go and see them. I'm going to see Rich McCorriston as well, and have a beer with him afterwards. But UK2 have been looking after us for a while. They're going to carry on looking after us for a long time ahead. Going to have a chat with them next week about what kind of deals we can get, what some offers we can have for existing members rather than just new members and stuff like that. So they are superb. Please support them. BritishJetNetwork.com/sponsors, and click on their link and take it to them and get yourself an absolute fortune. Someone's taking pictures. And Wirecast, thank you ever so much to Wirecast. They've given us $2,000 worth of software so that we can do the broadcasts here and record. Love them to bits. That's very kind of them. Not the kind of thing that most people want to buy, but they do ScreenFlow. And ScreenFlow is only £50-ish, something like that. And it is the most simple and fully featured screen capture application that you can lay your hands on at the moment. It's absolutely excellent. So we do.
Back Social has a bundle deal under $50.
Just say that. Good answer.
It's a bundle deal for ScreenFlow.
Yes, Stack Social. It started, I think, yesterday, and it's under $50 for it and seven other apps, including there were a couple.
ScreenFlow, Data Rescue, Expand Drive, AfterShock, Prototype, yes. Snap Select, and Civilization.
Excellent. Brilliant.
Probably worth it if you don't already. I posted it and said I would buy one, except I already own seven of the eight apps in there.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
But it's a good deal.
I've noticed the last few of Mac heists and things like that, I've been looking at them going, well, yeah, but I own half of those, so.
I still bought the last Mac heist.
Money for them.
There were a few things I wanted, and it was cheaper than buying them one by one.
Yeah, no.
Civilization Beyond Earth is worth the price alone.
The puzzles at Mac heist were fun, and now you just buy the bundle. It's like, damn it, I'm doing the puzzles.
I can't be asked for two.
That was too much work for him.
Exactly. I agree.
right. That was hard.
Time for the cool thing. Mr. Dr. McLevitis, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. That was me you heard making noise with the camera, because I was using my Nova, detached flash. Ready? Watch, I'm going to shoot a selfie of myself. Can you see this? Ready?
I am, yes.
Flash. So it's a handheld Bluetooth white screen flash. I'm going to flash it right at you now. So
thanks.
You can see it. There you go. Under $50. Works with its own camera app, and it is awesome for those moments when you want to shoot something close and you don't have proper lighting. It's like a fill flash. It's a You can set how bright it is. You can set the intensity and color of the light. So you can have soft light. You can turn some of the lights off. You got warm, you got bright, you got custom. I mean, you can really do a lot with a little $50 handheld flash for your phone. And it is really, you know, I did some comparison shots with and without, and it's amazing how much it helps when you're shooting like a close-up portrait to get a little side fill maybe. It makes for much more interesting looking pictures.
It's taken me this long to find, I've gone to their website to try and get a picture of this, and it's taken me bloody ages just to find a picture of it. So I do apologize, but, and now I've got to resize it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, their website's big on video.
Yeah, no, it's a pain in the ass, but there we go. That's it. The Nova flashlight. It's £50 if you buy from the UK store instead of $50, which it is. So the thieving bastards have got us on the exchange rate again, but. That looks pretty awesome. And the thing that's quite nice, I noticed on their website, there's a guy who's hanging it around and he's bouncing it out of some mirrors next to him to change the angle so he can make it look like it's further away and more diffused, which is a great idea.
It's very versatile. It lasts all day. If you charge it up, it's just USB charge. You know, if you take it with you, it'll last all day. And it's just a great thing to throw in your bag. Plus, it's so small. I mean, it fits in a shirt pocket. Look.
Yeah, no, I see that. It's really is tiny, but
and that thick.
So what are you talking, like maybe 100 shots out of it, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever counted. I've run it down in a day, shooting a lot of pictures. So maybe 50 or 100. I don't know.
Okay.
Enough to run around for a long time taking pictures before it runs out.
That looks really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, no, excellent. I like that.
Very fun. I mean, if you take a lot of pictures, it's one of those things that you can just drop in your pocket, take with, and you'll find the occasion where just holding it out to the side is going to get you a much better shot than not having it.
Okay. I like that pick. That's awesome. A good one. Thank you, mate. I should be 50 pounds. I should be 50 pounds lighter. 50 pounds lighter in the next couple of months, and it won't be bloody.
Yeah, I just keep my Amazon cart open for this show.
Oh, Tom, what do you have for us, sir?
I haven't mentioned Mission Pick before, have I?
No.
This is my friend Brett Rounceville develops this, and they just kind of came out of beta in December. So they're really, you know, they've really got this app together. It's a game of taking pictures. So each day you actually get an assignment. Today's assignment is handmade. Oh, cool. And then you can follow friends, as well as just see the general populace's picks, and you Tinder-like vote on everybody else's picks. You swipe up if you like it, left if you don't care, and right if you don't like it. And so there's a whole leaderboard and achievements and stuff. But the thing I like about it is that you just get nifty ways to like encourage you to go out and take some photography. So I've been trying to do it every day. I want to try to get through the entire year with taking one assigned picture every day.
Tensor guy in the chat room is seconding that. Mission Pick is fantastic, he says. And I got to say, I agree. We used to do a thing on the photo show where we had a group on Flickr, and we set a monthly assignment, and we kept it going for about 6 or 8 months, and it was really, really cool to do. But the problem was everyone was kind of like, oh, no, I've got to. But if you've only got a day, I think that is cool because it kind of makes you feel like you've got to get out and do it. And you could help it with because a lot of people do a 365 project, don't they? So it would help out with your 365 project.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it gives you ideas of something. It sends me a notification in the morning that tells me what the thing is, so I can throughout the day be thinking about, oh yeah, there's, you know, handmade, be keeping an eye out for something like that. It's really fun. I enjoy it. And I'm not even a big photo person, but I'm really having fun with this.
Good. I'll give that a go. Greeny. What do you have for us, sir?
So, you know I'm into retro, and I like, or, so remember the old Infocom games, like sort of texty type stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But you get the graphic side of it as well with new games, which I enjoy too. And I want to promote Sorcery 2. That's not, as you know, like spanking somebody's bum, as in saucy. It's sorcery, as in the magical thing. There is Sorcery 1, which would have sort of make sense, and there is Sorcery 3 as well. But Sorcery 2 is the particular game I'm playing at the moment. It's available for £3.99 in the iTunes store. And you basically sort of confined to this medieval, I'm guessing it's English, village. And you have to go from the South Gate to the North Gate and do all that sort of slightly geeky stuff. You play cards, you play dice, you battle with people and stuff like that. But it's very entertaining, very atmospheric. And if you're looking for a game that's, I would describe it as gentle. You know, a lot of these games are quite intense. And if you don't play them for a while, they start nagging you. Or it's one of these, you know, somebody's invited you to Gemtastic, or it's got these inbuilt purchases and stuff like that. It's got none of that. It's just like a sort of really nice, atmospheric, self-contained game. And it's great. I love it. So that's what I would recommend. Sorcery 2.
It's available from inklestudios.com if you want to go and have a look for that. So Sorcery 2, good pick, mate. Like that.
Yeah, it's in iTunes as well.
No, yeah, okay. But there's all of them there because they do an Android version too, so you can get that there too.
Well, they do a BlackBerry version as well.
No kidding.
No, that's all I'm going to say when it comes to it. So if you've got a BlackBerry passport or a BlackBerry running version 10 of their wonderful software, you can get it for your BlackBerry as well. Do you notice that I have to find these bloody games that that I plan my BlackBerry that are also available on an Apple device, just so I add some verisimilitude to your podcast.
Oh, mate, this podcast would be nothing without you. You keep going, mate. Love it. Next to him, it's Orphan Annie with her glasses on. Doc.
I was trying to block myself from all the BlackBerry talk. My eyes are burning. This one is really cool. It's still in the baking. It's going to require some help. I've been a big fan of these guys ever since, the very first Real Mac software. They've done Ember. They've done Clear. Of course, Rapper. But Nick, from the then counselor, Nick Fletcher from the Real Mac team, Nick used to also with us at Tua. So again, helping out a buddy, some guys over in Brighton. And this is Typed. Typed is a blogging platform to be created by the Real Mac software, based off of their knowledge of creating Rapid Weaver. So having all been bloggers at some point in time and having to use the tools he had, they didn't, Dan and Nick guys didn't appreciate any stuff that was out there. So they said, hey, happens when you got a bunch of coders that hate the stuff that's out there? Well, we make something that works the way we think it should. So you should check out Typed on Indiegogo. I think the entry to be a functioning member is about $40, but that hooks you up with 6 months of the service. And from looking at what they've posted so far, it's going to be epic. I've tried in Ghost and WordPress and Squarespace, which I currently use. I mean, with any of the above except Squarespace, and I can still only give that like a 7. Serious, always to see what these guys come out with, because they were the best. When you're a Mac guy and a blogger, you had to use Real Mac at one point. So,
there excellent. It is. Yeah, no. I mean, the one thing that I always found disappointing about these is when people walk away from it after they've started them off. You know, they get a really good application that's good for typing, especially for me as a dyslexic, and then it kind of just stagnates and you can't find it then if you lose it off your device. Or what was the one that was like a silent writer or something? It just disappeared anyway, though, and I found it really frustrating. So
there was a couple of really good attempts. And one thing that's cool about Real Mac, and I think one of the reasons why I like this, even I back like Ghost, and it has a lot of support, but not a lot of support. But the thing that's cool about Real Mac is they're not coming from a standpoint. These guys have been making software since 2000 and Deuce, so they've been around for a minute. They got 5 years. Five years on the iPhone. Yeah. So they've also done really well with Real Mac, and they've done well with Clear and some of the other things that they've worked on. So I kind of, you know, and there's a current program called Typed Out right now, which is maybe one of the markdown editors, And so they're just going to bring it to a blogging platform. So I kind of trust them. And what it's only going to cost me $40. It's two curries.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Michael thing. Oh, aye, what's happened here? It's like the whole studio's just shrunk. I don't know why that's happened. Oh, never mind. There we go. Michael thing is the Jimmy. Let me zoom in and get me back to where I was. There we go. Oh, no, I can't zoom anymore. I can't. Come on, you bugger. That won't let me zoom. Stuff it. The Jimmy. There you go. It's a little device that just sticks on the back of your iMac and lets the ports be accessible, because the ones at the back are a pain in the ass to try and feed anything into. They should really be on the underside. But what this thing does, you plug it in, and all of a sudden the port is on the underside where you can reach it. Dead easy. So this was £10 off Amazon, and it's a little bit pricey, I think, for what it does, but I bought it. Rob, Jimmy Redneck in the chat room, put me onto this, and he said he got one of them, and it works on the new iMacs. Well, I thought, well, I've got one of the old Thunderbolt displays. I wonder if it works for me. So I plugged it in, and it works just fine, because the distance from the socket to the bottom of the screen is identical. There's no difference there. The only thing you've got to deal with is the fact that it's a deeper screen for the Thunderbolt monitor. So it still makes it more accessible than it was before. And the thing is as well, it's got nice tension on it. So when you try and plug something in, it actually doesn't bend back with it, so that you can't actually get the device in. It bends just fine. So it's the Jimmy. It's a tenner from Amazon. There you go. I'm sure you can probably get it cheaper if you have a look around.
That is wicked.
I thought it wasn't new. I thought that was kind of an old thing. No? Have you seen that before then or not?
That is so cool.
Oh, okay. There we go. Cool. Thank you.
There's a sort of uncomfortable silence then.
There is. It's like I've recommended it. I'm like, I'm
just rapt looking at it online.
No, I was trying to order. Sorry, I told you I keep my card open when you guys are slamming out pigs.
Oh, you're buying it, aren't you?
Yeah. Are you disappearing into the bathroom again? Listen to Tom and watch the Jimmy.
Grab the soap.
Oh, God, you guys are killing me.
Grab the soap and play with his Jimmy. There we go. We've got another title. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Levitus?
BobLevitus.tv.
Excellent, mate.
This is my new website, just opened, with episodes of the Bob Levitus TV show available now.
Good man. And still fixing Macs and giving us advice on how to make them work better?
Not too much. Actually, I've sold the company for a penny to my former business partner, Pat, and she's running it without me now, because I just don't have the time.
Oh, right. That's a nice position to be in. I like that.
Yeah. I'm doing fun stuff. I'm making TV shows and writing columns for the Mac Observer and the Houston Chronicle, and I just don't have time to deal with clients. Plus, I don't like clients.
You shouldn't be dealing with them then. That makes sense.
That's right. She's much better, much more patient.
Yeah, that's a good logic right there. Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along today. Mr. Merritt, where are you, sir?
Still at tommerritt.com. And if anybody wants daily tech news, I've got a show called Daily Tech News Show at dailytechnewsshow.com, where we just talk about the tech news of the day, about 30, 40 minutes each day, run through the headlines, have a little discussion, read some feedback to folks, and we're out.
And now with a staff of thousands.
Staff of one, Jenny Josephson, my producer. But yeah, we're starting to get more contributors online to come on every week. It's moving along.
Congratulations, mate. Going brilliantly. Well done.
Thanks, man.
And Mr. Green, where are you?
Well, you can find me at britishmac.com, where I do a daily Mac news show, and also a monthly video version that sort of explores all the latest news in the Macintosh / Apple world.
When was your last posting?
That is not the point.
No, you're quite right. It was very churlish of me to ask. It is not the point. That was very underhanded on my part.
Yes, April last year, April 2014. But that's all right. Huh?
That's the most current you've been for a while, though. It's not as current as last week, because of course last week it was a week closer, but.
Well, balls you ranking, because I did two podcasts at the start of December, one after each other.
Yeah, that was the one that was going to be a daily walk into Christmas, wasn't it? Both of them.
Well, yeah, it's such a pain in the arse.
The Will Green Advent Calendar, there's only two boxes.
Well, they both had wonderful presents inside.
They did. They were gorgeous little podcasts. I listened to both of them.
Did you?
Every day. I did.
Oh, that's nice.
I listened to... Well, I only had two to last me all the way to Christmas, so I listened to them multiple times.
Thing is, though, it's like a box of chocolates. If you eat too many chocolates, you get sick of it. So, you know, if you stretch it out and have one chocolate a year, for example, then...
Quite.
You don't get sick or fat.
Quite. And the thing is, there's nothing in your podcast title. You see, Tom's got Daily Tech News, so it infers a frequency straight away, whereas yours doesn't say British Mac Weekly, does it? It doesn't say British Mac Monthly, nope. Yearly. See, there you go. So
nothing like that at all. Dr. Mac Levitis.
Yes.
What was the guy you used to... You say cool every other word. What was his name? When you used to do that podcast with him?
Scott Shepherd.
Scott Shepherd. Ewan, you want to get Scott Shepherd on here?
All right, we will.
He's a really... So Tom, obviously, everybody in this sort of room, virtual room, if you like, I'd love to get on a podcast with Scott. He's a really funny and...
You're just using me to fulfill your ambitions.
Well, I thought it'd be good. And old Laporte, get him on here as well.
I'll see what I can do, mate. Yeah, sure, no worries. Anything for you, Greeny.
Oh, God.
Perfect. Is that okay?
Tom, do you think you've got more chance of getting Leo on here or me? Because I think we're probably both zero.
I don't know. I think we can both have a shot at it.
He's not been on DCNS yet.
He just doesn't like doing guest spots. He's too busy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. He is. He is very busy, man. But the good thing about this is it's early. So, and I know he's an early riser. So yeah,
it'll only be 7 in the morning for anybody in Petaluma.
Yeah. It's 8:47.
The chickens will still be walking around the street, though.
I can always sample his voice. I could sample his voice and cut up the sample into different words. And just sort of ping it off.
No, but then it'll sound like we've got Alec Guinness on the show if you do the impersonation.
No. I'll take one of his podcasts, cut up each individual word,
okay.
Write a program, and then we can blast it out.
Okay.
And so you can talk to me, and then I'll just type in, and it'll be the Louis Laporte virtual machine.
Okay. I can do that for Scott, too?
Yeah,
I can do that, too. I could morph the two if you want. So every other word, so one word is Scott and one word is Leo, and it'll be sort of a the Leo Scott love child. It'd be very jolly.
Okay, let's do that with Leo and see what happens.
Okay.
Not. And last but by no means least, the man that was up at 5 a.m., Doc Rock.
Oh, well, beauty. In about 3 hours and 10 minutes, you can find me again in the same effing chair, but without my pajamas on. And after simply having my soap and Tom moment. And then, other than that, we started the new thing, MacUser.pro, as a way of, teaching people more about how to use their computers. If you are running it, for your business, we wanted to get more out of it. So my buddy, Dr. Allgood, myself do that. And then, of course, random on shows where a bunch of British people tell me to come and be this weird yank. Doc Rock everywhere on the internet, though.
Thanks, man. We'll see you in a couple of hours for the big show. Get some rest before you get on here. At least get a shower, Jesus. my name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're doing the big show at 8 o'clock tonight, so that's 3 hours from now. And then it's my wife's birthday tomorrow, which is why I've moved the show today. So if you're tuning in tomorrow, we're not here. Sorry. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. I want to do the Soap and Tom moment as a as a title, but we didn't. I didn't record that first bit.
Ah, shoot.
Well,
that was one of the most frequent responses. We did a survey and we just asked people, like, where do you listen? And one of the most frequent responses was in the shower. So Doc Rock is not alone.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm never in the shower alone, Tom.
No, I know. You've got a whole world in there with you.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Hawaii. We take showers on the beach all the time. So
yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, makes my sense. God. You guys are killing me.